So Chad describes a time in his life where one thing after another, it builds up. It piles on, it weighs him down, and it got to the point where it was crushing his soul. But this church, McCabe, one of the ministries that it offers is the ministry that has helped to restore and to change his life. God has given us so much time, so much money, so much clothing, a beautiful building, whatever it might be. And we decide how to use what we've been given. Sometimes we don't even know that it's happening. Sometimes in life things start to pile up and then maybe even they start to spiral out of control. Fear might consume us. Anger might rip us apart. We push and we push until we're burned out. Our lives might be frantically driven by our finances. Friends, sometimes we've become prisoners to our circumstances and our stuff. It's not until we start getting it under control that we begin to experience a renewed growing freedom. So today we're talking about God's generosity in our lives and what we might call a less is more theology. In this morning's scripture, Solomon was coming from the halls of justice, so he was leaving there, and he was pretty frustrated and disappointed. The court officials, they had been given so much, and yet what Solomon saw, Solomon saw the court officials, they were abusing their power. They were exploiting and oppressing the people. So Solomon was coming from the halls of justice. He was frustrated. He was disappointed. He was disgusted. And he headed over to the marketplace because he wanted to spend some time with, he wanted to explore with people who were doing good work.
Then so, I observed that most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbors.
Warren Wiersbe writes, Solomon went down to the marketplace looking for good, honest work. Solomon saw a guy working hard, doing good work. But then he looked beyond the craftsman's hands. He looked at the guy's heart. And the guy's heart was a mess. This worker had been given so much, and he was good at what he did, but he did it for the wrong reasons. He worked hard, he did good work, but all he wanted to do was to beat other people down. All he wanted to do was to gain more money so he could say that he was better than the person next to him. Friends, we talk about money, and money is one of those things that can be good or bad, right? Money can bring hope and healing, or money can separate us, pull us away from God. I don't know if you might be a football fan, but if you are, you may have seen this image last weekend. This guy broke his leg during the game. He was being carted off the field, and oftentimes when people get injured and then are leaving, whether you're on the same team or not, fans clap for them. In this guy's case, the fans were booing for him. In return, this guy was making derogatory gestures to the crowd, even to his own team. Everyone was mad about things because he was in a tiff with his own team about millions of dollars. Everyone was caught up and taking sides. God has given us so much, and we are charged with using it faithfully. Solomon writes,
Then I observed that most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbors.
And Solomon concludes,
but this too is meaningless, like chasing the wind.
So money can be accumulated and used that bring hope and healing, that set people free, or money can be accumulated and used in ways that ultimately crush our soul. So next, Solomon spent some time with a guy who didn't do anything. He didn't have any ambition. Solomon learned what he already knew. Laziness is a slow, dangerous path leading to self-destruction. Solomon writes,
fools fold their idle hands, leading them to ruin.
So far, Solomon's seen a guy caught up in the rat race of life. He's seen another guy who was like, well, I think one of the kids said lazy, right? But Solomon didn't stop. Solomon kept going.
And yet, it's better to have one handful with quietness than two handfuls with hard work and chasing the wind.
This is a less is more theology. God has given us so much, and we are charged with using what we've been given in faithful ways. Sometimes that requires us to step back and to regroup. Sometimes we have to unload the crud and the mess and the muck. Sometimes we have to lighten the load. We have to clean out and make room for Jesus. Solomon came across this guy who worked hard. He used his time well. He was productive in his work, and he made time to care for his soul. This guy consciously chose not to get caught up in the rat race of life. He didn't avoid his normal responsibilities. He did what he needed to do. He worked hard. But he also didn't let things that didn't have eternal consequences take priority. So the data is a little old at this point, but the trends still are moving in that same direction. Back in the 70s and 80s, the average American leisure time, the average American lost about 37% of their leisure time. More and more, we're having a hard time finding that balance. We're having a hard time keeping that balance. We get caught up in the scramble. We don't know how to escape. For people who are still in the workforce, they're working more hours and longer days. And we hear words from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6 saying,
and yet it's better to have one handful with quietness than two handfuls with hard work and chasing the wind.
God has given us so much in life, and we're charged with faithfully caring for what we've been given. Time, money, so forth. There's one more guy in this morning's scripture. This guy was a guy who worked hard, but instead of doing it himself, instead he only did it for himself. He wasn't willing to share his life with anyone, and when he died, there wasn't anyone to enjoy the fruits of his labor. He was all about me, and he was all about just getting more. Solomon says,
I observed yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. This is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing.
Friends, sometimes in life, sometimes less is more. Sometimes we have to recognize that it's better to own what we have instead of letting what we have own us. Remember the Garden of Eden at the beginning of the scriptures? The battles were already taking shape. Satan lies. You know, sure you have everything you could want. Sure you have everything you need, but what about that apple on the tree? What you don't have is what you need. More is always better. Yet we know that sometimes less is actually more. So, for example, have you ever found yourself just kind of drifting off, dreaming, you know, wow, I wish I had more debt. Or I wish my mortgage or my rent payment, I wish it would just go up a lot. I wish I had a bigger mortgage. You know what, my credit card bill, you know, it's just not high enough. It's not stretching me enough. I wish I had more credit card debt. Friends, God has given us so much, and we are charged with faithfully caring and using what we've been given. Sometimes less is actually more. Less is more actually means you actually own the stuff that you have instead of the stuff you have owning you. In a moment, we'll have a chance to share in Holy Communion together with our brothers and sisters from across the world. We come thinking about how God allows us to be stewards of everything that we've been given. So as we wrestle with what it means to be good stewards of our lives as followers of Jesus, did you know that when people are interviewed, if the scene is kind of set, if they picture themselves having 3 months to live, if they consider their last 3 months of life, the things that people say matter the most, they say God, relationships, family, kids, things like that. The things that don't make it onto anyone's list are things like more money or more shoes, a new phone, a big leather couch, maybe that certain car, maybe more followers of your Twitter feed. So as we prepare to come to the rail, what would it look like if this fall, what would it look like if this fall if we started to do some spring cleaning? What if we started to take the next steps in getting our financial and our spiritual houses in order? Jesus said, our lives don't just consist in the abundance of our possessions. So let's pause as we praise God for his generosity in our lives. And let's pause as we invite and as we make room at the rail, as we welcome God to the table with us this morning. Will you join me in singing, Be Present at Our Table?